everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Sophia Wilson, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of CP yachting is our US editor, Cecile Garrett. Cecile, it's always a treat to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We obviously saw each other in Milan for the CP Yacht Design Festival, yeah. But you've had a bit of a holiday since then. How's it been?
Oh, it was great. Oh, I left sea level and went up in the mountains in Switzerland. I did a lot of walking and a lot of wine tasting. You know, you have to educate your palate. And the Swiss wines are delicious, I have to say, and very hard to come by outside of Switzerland. So that was a real treat. And then I actually took the train back to Milan and I flew home from there. So it was a great trip.
I have to say, I didn't realize Switzerland even produced wines.
Quite a bit, as a matter of fact, especially in the area where I was, which is called the Valais, which is a French-speaking side of Switzerland. And it's very warm. It has a really nice climate. The entire hills are covered with wine vineyards. It's amazing, actually.
Ah, well, there you go. Every day is a school day.
Absolutely. But I digress. While I was away, I kind of kept a vague eye on emails and stuff. And I saw you were away. You went to Benetti and you went to the launch of their new Beyond. How was that?
I did, yeah. I think Charlotte and Stuart spoke about it last week because Stuart's obviously been to see the yacht as well because she is going to be our September cover boat. But yeah, I went to the launch. So I went to the party part, which was, it was great. It was very Italian. There was, you know, singers and priests and beautiful dinner on the dock, and it was incredibly well done by Benetti and a really fun event. And the yacht's really different in terms of what they've done with the configuration. It's really exciting to see, and that's how much space they've managed to create in that kind of smaller size vessel. And I'm not surprised that, you know, they've already had 9 units sold, and this one, nice. You know, this is the first time they've had something to show on the water. So I think it is kind of clearly attracting a group of owners that are really wanting more from a smaller yacht. And then the other thing that I really liked, so I was fortunate enough to go out the day afterwards on one of the sea trials, is that she's got a hybrid propulsion system. And Cecile, you as the queen of sea trials, I'm sure have been on many a hybrid yacht, but I have to say it's the first time that I've been on a hybrid, and the quietness really blew me away.
Amazing.
We've spoken a lot about the technology, and obviously it's got huge benefits environmentally, and, you know, going greener and everything else is important, but the quietness as an owner just must be a complete game changer. It kind of feels like being on a sailing yacht.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very special treat when you can be on the water and not be bothered by very loud engines, that's for sure.
But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know whether enough is, I mean, maybe I've just been a bit naive about it, but I'm not sure whether enough is done to really promote the quietness. I know Heesen spoke a lot about it with their first hybrid, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they talk about it off and on, but, you know, it's a trade-off always, right? Some people just want the speed, and you don't always get that with a hybrid propulsion system. So I think that's work in progress, and we'll see more of them as people really get to enjoy that aspect of boating. Maybe we're ready to slow down.
Yeah, I think I'd take the quieter, slower life, but maybe that's me getting old.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing, I think Stuart wrote the story ultimately for the magazine, right?
Yeah, I think it's the first yacht report Stuart's written in, certainly a good couple of years. I might be doing him a disservice, but yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a great writer as well, so I'm really looking forward to that story. And we have actually a really nice lineup for September. I'm excited that we finally have an article on Tatoosh, which is obviously an iconic explorer yacht, which was built by Nobis Krug. And it's traveled the world, but it's been very discreet all these years because of the owners were very under the radar. But it's on the market now, so it helped loosen up a little bit the lips of people involved with the project. And we had an interview with the commissioning owner, Greg McCall, who gave us a great insight into this really extraordinary yacht. I must say, I love Tatoosh. I've never been on board, I have to confess, but I've seen her in a couple of places. And I mean, I love her. I love the looks of it. I love the idea of her. So that should be great. But I hear there's quite a bit of activity on the market. So if anybody listening is interested in Tatoosh, then you better hurry up.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the feature. I feel like it's been... we have a spreadsheet called Boats, Boats, Boats. This is Insider Boat Secrets, where we kind of keep a tally on, you know, which yachts we're hoping to get in the magazine and everything else. And I feel like Tatoosh has been on that hit list for quite a long time. So it must be exciting for you, Cecile, to see it finally go into print.
Yeah, definitely. That's great. I'm really happy about that. Speaking of that list, I guess I'd better get on it and update it really soon. But also in that September issue, we have the new Life Under Sail. I think Charlotte and Stuart mentioned it last week, but you were directly involved in getting the contents for it, Sophia. So can you tell us a little bit of something about it?
Yeah, so I'm the editor of this year's Life Under Sail. So yeah, I mean, I say you very politely put that in the past tense, but I think the contents is still finally
still
coming
in the
together.
Works. Oops.
No, it's not. It's pretty much all laid out and ready to go now. It needs to go ahead of the main September issue, so it's always quite a tight turnaround for these supplements. But yeah, I think it's looking really good. There's lots in there. I think last week they mentioned the interview that I did with Sir Andrew Cook, who's the owner of Nostramo's, a really interesting guy, just very passionate about sailing and sailing yachts, and slightly rude about most yacht owners, but you'll have to read that for yourself. And then we've also done a great feature with Aquijo and her. I hadn't really appreciated, I saw her when I was on a trip to New Zealand, so I did know that she, you know, she'd gone a long way, but she did a kind of 3-year circumnavigation. And she's been everywhere: Patagonia, Papua New Guinea, New Zealand, Australia, French Polynesia. So Georgia, who's our travel editor, spoke at length to her captain about the kind of adventures and his highlights and lowlights. And that's a really great feature and a really great example of, you know, we speak so much about explorer yachts and what it's possible to do, and that's obviously very exciting, but then actually sailing yachts can give you the chance to travel the world as well. So I think that's probably my favourite feature in the whole magazine.
That's great.
As well as Marilyn did a great interview with Gerard Dykstra, who of course just picked up our Lifetime Achievement Award at the Design and Innovation Awards. And I didn't know, obviously did from the awards know some of his background, but he's just had such a fascinating career, and also his own fascinating adventures on the water kind of privately as well.
Truly an amazing guy, a great sailor apparently, and and very discreet, very very self-effacing, and a great person.
But part that you've helped me with is our kind of main yacht feature in it is Audrey the First, which is the custom Norta Swan. So yeah, what can you tell us about her?
Oh, she's a beauty. I got to see her last year already at the Monaco Yacht Show. She was there, really enjoyed seeing her. She's got a beautiful interior by Mark Whiteley, which is modern and classic. I know we use that all the time, but really it is modern and classic. And she has a really interesting layout to boot. I really like that the owner's cabin is just beautiful. The saloon is very pleasant and comfortable. And then you have kind of this little transition area between like the guest area proper to the crew area with the galley and a bar and wine bar. Oh gosh, here I go again with the wine, but it's very well done. It's very user friendly, and she's really a good looking yacht all around. She did very well at the Boat Design Innovation Awards, and she actually won for best interior design in her category.
So that's also in Life Under Sail. And Life on Sail, as I mentioned, is obviously with our September issue, which is the first kind of our yacht show editions, because the September issue will kind of be at Cannes and then the October issue will be at Monaco. I can't really believe we're there already. I don't know where this year is going, but it did get me thinking as to which yachts are likely to be at the yacht shows this year. Cecile, I don't know whether you've got any insights from your yacht chasing.
A few, not on top of things. I feel like I think it will take a couple more weeks to confirm some of the boats, but there is a very good chance. I think it's all but confirmed that Kensho, the new 75-meter admiral, will be at Monaco. She was just delivered, as we mentioned last week, and it's a very different looking yacht, and I'm really looking forward to seeing her. Her owner was very instrumental in her design. He wanted to shake things up, and he sure has. He got some inspiration from sailboats in the design as well. It's got an exterior by Azur, obviously a very experienced studio, but it also has some newcomers to the yachting industry, which makes it even more interesting, because sometimes they bring a different feel to yachting, which obviously the owner wanted to achieve. I think a few months ago I did an interview with Jean Moncou, They are the French design firm that were involved with the interior specifically. And although they're very well known for their work in the luxury world, they do stores for Van Cleef & Arpels, they've done restaurants and hotels, and they're very interesting in their approach to design. Really a great team. Anyway, so they have designed their first yacht interior, so that makes it interesting as well. And there was also Berliner & Company from Germany that worked with Azur on exterior. And then you throw in the propulsion, which is, again, diesel, hybrid propulsion, actually. I'm not sure if it's diesel electric. I think it is diesel electric. But anyway, so that's many reasons, and that's definitely one I'd love to see in Monaco.
Yeah, I'd love to see her as well. I'm a huge fan of her styling. I think she looks great. She is also available to charter with Wyco this summer for 850,000 euros a week. So that's our other option, Cecile, if we don't get on board in Monaco.
Absolutely. I'm sure we can gather a few friends and figure it out. And then what else? In Monaco, I think we'll also have the chance to see a CRN yacht. That's the first one for quite some time. They've had a recent project that were very confidential. But this 62-meter Rio, it's called, has an owner who's very proud to showcase her. And she'll be in Monaco for sure. I mean, unless something drastic happens, but she's all but confirmed there. And I'm looking forward to seeing her as well. She's got a modern, sleek design by Omega and an interior by Pulina Interiors. Really, I like the look of her. And I'm sure you must have seen some of the launch photos. They had this nice party and all these colorful fireworks.
Yeah, they had excellent confetti cannons.
Absolutely. Nice job with that. And then in Cannes, we have quite a few interesting boats as well. Cannes is more of the semi-custom production yachts than purely custom yachts, although you have both. But definitely that's where you'll see your Sunseekers and Princess and so forth. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new Sunseeker 100 yacht. That's been in development for a while. They've just launched the first one and maybe number two as well, and also did quite well in selling several of them. It's a new Flybridge model, and they say it's going to change a lot of things for Sunseeker, so I want to see her for myself. And then we have a Turkish yard named Avayats. A couple years ago, was it? 3 years ago, they had a first condo there, kind of an explorer style, huge volume, long range. Anyway, hull number two they built for the international basketball star Tony Parker. And I'm kind of curious of seeing that boat too, because Mr. Parker's team was very hands-on and very involved into it. And then there's the largest bearing yacht in Cannes, so 145. And also the smaller version of the Oasis by Benetti. I love the first Oasis, and this one is a 34-meter. That should be really interesting. Yes, there is a Sunreef Echo. The Sunreef 80 Echo will be in Cannes, sailing yacht. And I really like that line by Sunreef. They're really pushing the boundaries to try to meet their clients' demands for yachts that are more eco-friendly. And this certainly fits the bill, has this built-in sail, solar sails in the hull, superstructure, everywhere they could stick it. And then also because it's sailing yacht, they are able to use a hydro generator to regenerate power. So it's very eco-friendly. Anyway, there's a lot of yachts to see.
Yeah, but it's good. I mean, we spoke in the spring about whether this kind of lack of inventory was going to start to create a real issue for yacht shows. But it does feel like there's going to be plenty to see. One that you might know better than me, but it's one of the new Amel 60. Do you think that's going to make it to Monaco? I think the second one, Project Witchcraft, has been launched today, so she might not quite be delivered. But do you know whether Come Together is going to make it?
I think it's possible, but I'm not sure if it's confirmed. But I did speak to the team at a Winch recently, and it might be there, and I hope so. It would be interesting. That's one you want to see, right?
I'm so fascinated by how successful this platform has been for Amels. And I know Come Together, she's got a custom winch design interior as well. So, I'd love to have a sneaky look at that. Obviously, I went to the Amels 80 kind of premiere in the spring this year, and that first hole won't be completed until spring 2025. So I've got a few years to wait for that one. But it'd be nice to see the Amels 60 in the meantime.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure it's an interesting boat. I really quite like the design, and the paint scheme on the first one is very interesting as well. And it's the successor to a very, very successful series at Amals. And I think she'll do very well as well.
And talking of yachts of the future, I know there was an event in Monaco that caught your eye this weekend.
Oh, right. The most recent Monaco Challenge just wrapped on July 9th. And this is an event that's just been growing every year, and it's very exciting. It's attracting all bright new people to the world of boating with, you know, very clever solutions. And there was everything from hydrogen to solar to electricity to power these boats. They had 38 teams competing from 21 different countries, which I think is amazing. And I must say, one of my favorite teams sounds like was coming from southern India. I will try to pronounce the name of that college, but I probably will butcher it. It is the Kumaraguru College of Technology from southern India. And their closest ocean is 5 hours away from them. So they only had one opportunity to test their boat in open water once before the event. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, Katia from my team was there. And she said, yeah, it was a great event and really exciting to see kind of some of the new technologies that are being developed. And just the kind of amount of hype of having all these different teams in one place. And it's all kind of open formula. So everyone has to share their learnings. And it's a great idea and a great event.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think if I remember the first few events, it was mostly the races and these boats. But now they've expanded to include also seminars so that the young people who are competing in these very fun competition and interesting competition can also interact with more senior people in the industry. And I think it's a great exchange of ideas all around. I think it's really a nice event. I'm jealous that Katya got to go. I've never been there. One day, maybe.
Well, speaking of nice work trip opportunities, I just wanted to flag a final bit of housekeeping before we get on to news, which is we are hiring. So we currently have a couple of positions open on the digital team, including a digital writer position, because unfortunately the lovely Olivia from my team moved to Malaysia, and also for a new social media executive. Now, it might seem like a long shot, putting this out on the podcast, but our long listeners will know that Charlie from our commercial team actually heard about his position on the podcast, and he's now been with the company for 6 months.
That's amazing.
I need to chase up on my commission for that. But So if we have got any aspiring digital writers or social media fanatics out there, then yeah, please do get in touch with us. Through LinkedIn is probably the easiest way, or email the podcast email address.
Yeah, and they'll have fun. They'll be busy. So I just wanted to maybe mention something else in the works right now at Boat. We talked about a few of the expedition yachts, Akijo on the sailing side, Tatouche, of course, the new Condo, which is an Explorer with a lot of range, and then the Bering 145. So I thought it might be a good segue and mention that we are working on the next Explorer conference for November 10th in Monaco.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't been to the last one, but you were there. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I was on there. People that were there unfortunately saw a lot of me. I think I ended up with, similarly to you did at SDF with them, quite a few different panels to manage. It was a great event last year. It's coming back this year, November the 10th. I probably should be able to tell you more than I can content-wise, but we're just kind of in starting to finalise the ideas that we'd like to put together for it. But as usual, we'll have a real breadth across the industry, both looking kind of at inspiration from a travel perspective, new trends within the Explorer market, and also hopefully some other ideas around how the Explorer market could be marketing itself better and how you get that balance right between that kind of thirst for exploration, but also making sure that we're not damaging the planet and how you could kind of prevent that as you go. So hopefully it'll be a nice mix of all of those things. And hopefully if I get on with my job, I'll have more to tell you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll come up with nice content for it. There is so much to say about it. And it's really an area that is of interest, obviously, increasingly to people who have these big yachts to go around and actually do stuff with it. So it's great.
moving on to the news. So we'll start with what I've already mentioned, which is that Project Witchcraft, the second Amwell 60 limited edition, has been launched and is preparing for the final build phase. The yacht marks the second limited edition 60 designed by Espen Nueno. Key features include customised windows and a light-drenched interior that was chosen by the owner. The project was sold by Moran Yacht and Ship, who also negotiated the technical specs and oversaw the complete construction of the vessel. We're truly excited to see Project Witchcraft emerge from the finishing shed and into the water for the first time, commented a representative from Moran. This milestone is always a special moment. Moran Yacht and Ship is very proud of the many customizations we are able to implement into this platform, which is a testament to Dahman Yachting Engineering and the production team.
Great. I'm looking forward to seeing Project Witchcraft.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether she's going to change her name or whether she's going to stay as Witchcraft.
Very interesting. Witchy lady. Okay, I'm dating myself now. Remember that song? Witchy woman, sorry. All right, and then what else? We have the 52-meter Fetchip Gallant Lady, which is just coming out of the yard after a very long refit. She entered the refit shed almost a year ago and is set to be redelivered in the coming weeks after the successful completion of sea trials. The yacht has undergone significant work to both our interior and exterior, and the yard has also performed scheduled maintenance and technical upgrades to bring her to 2022 standards. In a statement, FedShip described the refit as intensive. The yard hasn't disclosed all of the specifics of the work, but it has said that the interior has been completely reconfigured. The yacht has also benefited from new alfresco areas, including the addition of a new beach club, of course, and a reconfigured flybridge. Gallant Lady was delivered in 1996 to a design by Rick Jordan with interiors by Paola Smith. She's quite well known in town here in Fort Lauderdale, obviously. She is now used for corporate entertainment by JM Family Enterprises, which is a company founded by Jim Moran. Jim Moran has passed on, but he was one of those yacht owners who really contributed his share to the growth of the yachting industry and Fetchip, even, in the United States. He ordered quite a few yachts, an interesting gentleman. And there's been quite a few Gallant Ladies, and this one is very special.
So will she come back to do corporate entertainment? Do you know whether that's been the purpose of the refit?
Yeah, I think that's a plan. Not to say she's never used privately, but that's the main use of it, is for corporate use.
Okay. Oh, well, there we go. So next up, we have the news that Turkish Yard Sarp is back in business with its 62-metre Sarp yacht back under construction and listed for sale. The Nakre 62 is currently under construction at the Turkish shipyard and has been listed for sale by Denison Yachting. Construction on the 60-metre project began on spec in 2018, but was paused after the business was restructured when the matriarch of the family that owned the shipyard passed away. The shipyard is now under new management, and the Nakre 62 is looking for an owner to see the vessel through to its completion. Sarp estimates delivery in 24 to 26 months from the signing of contract. The project's going to be built in steel and aluminium to a design by Hot Lab, and she was first unveiled at the Monaco Yacht Show in 2017.
Oh, wow.
She's asking $52 million. And she's one of two projects that have been paused that are now back under construction at the yard. I don't know whether you remember her being unveiled in 2017, Cecile.
Yeah, it was a very interesting project, actually. I went to Sarp Yacht some years ago, really liked that yard. They had delivered a very, very good first project. And I'm really glad to see that they're back in business. And then what else do we have? Yes, a 43-meter full custom Kurekasa Superyacht Boji has been delivered. The news comes after the yacht, formerly known as F-77, was launched from the Italian yard's Viareggio facility this May. She's described as a totally custom full displacement yacht. And Boji features a steel hull and aluminum superstructure with design painted in-house by Kodekasa, as is often the case. Exterior design features include a vertical bow, a clean profile, and large windows allowing plentiful natural light into the interior, which is below 500 gross tons. She accommodates a total of 11 guests in 5 cabins, including an owner's suite, 2 doubles, and 2 twins. The crew quarters allow for a staff of 9, including a standalone captain's cabin. She will spend her first summer cruising the Mediterranean. Kodakasa, meanwhile, they're also carrying out the construction of two additional projects, C-124 and C-127, which are due for delivery in 2024 and 2023, respectively.
Okay, so lastly, we have that Ferretti has provided a construction update on the first 35.2-meter Pershing GTX 116, the flagship and the first unit of the Pershing brand's new GTX line. The model, which combines functionality of a sports utility yacht with signature Pershing performance, was unveiled for the first time at the Miami Boat Show in 2022, earlier this year. Conceived by Pershing, the GTX 116 is a result of a collaboration between the Ferretti Group Strategic Project Committee and the design firm headed by Flavio De Simone and the Ferretti Group's engineering department. The new model is characterized by a streamlined profile that reflects the yacht's sporty capacity and borrows design cues from the Gran Turismo automotive imagery. With 165 square meters of fully interconnected outdoor areas, the GT 116 demonstrates an increased focus on alfresco living. The news of the GT of this yacht taking shape comes after the first hull was sold to an American owner earlier this year.
Well, I'm not surprised that the first one is going to an American. They love their Pershing over here, that's for sure.
Yeah, do we know when we're expecting to see her delivered?
So I actually contacted Ferretti after they sent the press release this week because I wasn't clear on that. It sounds like she'll be ready for the boat shows next year in 2022.
Wow, okay. So quite a quick turnaround from the owner.
Yeah. Unless, of course, they've been working on this for a while before they started talking about it, which is always possible.
You cynic, Cecile. There I was, believing in the magic of shipyards.
Oh, they can work some magic, but you still need time, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, speaking of time, we'll move on to this week's data, which as ever is brought to you by Boat Pro, Boat International's award-winning market intelligence service. So we are already halfway through the year.
Yeah.
And therefore, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to look at the brokerage figures for Q2. Now, our data guru, Raphael, is at pains to point out that we do still expect some additional sales to come through and be finalised, but hopefully it's still a strong indication of where the market's been at for the last few months. And the short answer is that it's definitely stabilised in comparison to the madness that we saw in 2021, but it is still looking very healthy. So looking at the numbers in more detail, in 2019, 122 yachts were sold in Q2. In 2020, only 75 yachts were sold, but this was obviously heavily impacted by COVID. It was kind of when the pandemic was first really heavily hitting across the globe. In 2021, obviously all madness ensued, and it was a crazy year. So there were 231 yachts sold in Q2.
Wow.
But this year, we're looking at 138 yachts sold, and we might actually expect this number to creep up to closer to 150 once all the sales have been finalised and we've managed to collate all the data. I think that's looking pretty healthy.
Yeah.
The average asking price has come down slightly since last year, but it's still sitting at €8,427,110. In 2020, the average price was closer to €8.8 million. And back in 2019, interestingly, the asking price was higher, so it was €9,480,000. I need to go back and do some digging, but I wonder whether there might have just been a couple of high-ticket items that slightly skewed that average price for that quarter.
Yeah, on those kind of numbers, it does make a difference.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard to tell. Looking at the categories, smallest yachts are obviously leading the way, which is not a surprise. So we saw 58 yachts sold between 24 and 30 metres in Q2. In 2021, this was 94. Again, just showing what a crazy year it was last year for the brokerage market. Moving up the levels for this year in Q2, we've seen 53 yachts sold between 30 and 40 metres. 19 yachts sold between 40 and 50 metres. That's in comparison to 39 in that category last year. 7 yachts between 50 and 70 metres and 1 yacht that was above 70 metres. So trivia question for you, Cecile. Do you know which yacht above 70 metres was sold in the last quarter?
No, I was busy drinking wine in Switzerland. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's the Ocean Co yacht Infinity, which is, of course, previously known as Cloud Nine. So yeah, she was probably the biggest.
Oh, that's right. She did change her name in Q2. Now that you mention it, I do remember seeing that.
So she's been the biggest sale. I haven't had a chance to go back. Obviously, there is the champagne bet between Stuart, Charlotte, and I. I haven't had a chance to go back and look at our numbers and see who's winning. I think Stuart was the most pessimistic, and I think I was probably the most ambitious, and I think Charlotte was somewhere in the middle. So I have a feeling Charlotte might be winning, but I need to go back and double check those figures.
Sometimes the safest road is the middle road.
Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see who's buying champagne at the end of the year. Right, well, I think that's all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much for joining, Cecile. Always a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Boat Briefing, which has been mixed and produced by Andy Greening and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.